Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. We're going to be doing a three-part series on God's glorious kingdom arising in the earth. Now, all of this is based on a new book that the Lord has me writing. It's another War Journal book. It's War Journal number 4. It's going to be taking a look at how God's kingdom, His glorious kingdom, has been arising in our midst. And today in particular, this first episode, we're going to be talking about how our light has come. Now, some of you might be asking, what are you talking about? Where is this light? All I see is darkness. All I see is gloom, misery, destruction, and sorrow throughout America and throughout the world. And you'd be right. Yes, those are the things that we see in the world that the Bible calls darkness. But how many of you know that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are in the world, but not of the world? That means that no matter what is happening in the world that is dark, that is evil, we're redeemed. We are God's redeemed, which means we are preserved from the evil of this world. Now, one of the scriptures the Lord gave me years ago was from Psalm 121. The Lord would have me pray these scriptures before I took off in my car every morning to go to work. This is Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8 that says, and I make it personal. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, this is something the Lord told me to do. I was on the Lord's assignment. So because I was in obedience to God by right and covenant, He had to protect me. And why specifically did God give me these words? Because His word is true. These are not just words in a Bible. These are covenant words that God has for His people who believe. This is true for every believer. Are you a believer? Or are you just a churchgoer? Ponder that thought. Now, even if you go back and look at the Old Testament under the Old Covenant in the days of Moses, remember how God brought His people out of slavery in Egypt? The Bible says that God heard their groanings and remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You'll find that in Exodus 2:24. What did God do after He remembered His covenant? He sent a deliverer by the name of Moses. And through Moses, through one man, God rained down plagues on the Egyptians. These plagues were so devastating, but God kept doing it until Pharaoh let His people go. But notice, even though the plagues came, it touched everything in Egypt, but it did not touch the people of God. Why? By reason of their covenant, they were preserved. And the Bible says that God made a difference between His people and the people of Egypt. And He rained the plagues to make a difference and a showdown between the gods of His kingdom and the gods of Egypt. I hope you're hearing this, because we're in a similar situation in America today. We'll talk about that later. But let's consider those who are in Christ, no matter where you live. Galatians 3:29 says that if we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs to the same promise. Okay, so if God will go down in Egypt and send plagues on Egypt to set His people free, and none of those plagues touch the people of God, why should we, who have a better covenant, be concerned about what's going on in our land? We're heirs to the same promise, but we have a better covenant. Our covenant is with the blood of Jesus. In other words, in Christ, we can expect the same, if not better, covenant protection that they had back in the days of Moses. Abraham and his seed experienced those things from generation through generation until now. And we're in Christ. Why aren't we walking in the same blessing? We are preserved. But not only that, if the enemy comes at us to target us like he did the Jews, and he is doing that with the Christians in our day, God promises to bless those who bless us and to curse those who curse us. So why do we fear what the devil is doing in the world? Why do we worry about what he's coming at us with? If we are Christ, and if we are Abraham's seed, if we're under the blood of covenant of Jesus Christ, we're covered, we're preserved. Now listen, the devil is doing what he's always done, and that is committing all manners of evil in the world. That's his role in this world. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we also have a role to play. We're supposed to stand in the victory that we had through Christ Jesus and put that devil under our feet. We're supposed to be walking in victory over all the power of the enemy. And that's according to Luke 10:19. And that was before Jesus Christ was crucified. And Jesus told his believers, listen, he had sent out the 70 and they had come back and talked about how the demons were subjected to them. Okay, the demons of darkness was subjected to men who were not filled with the Spirit, who were not under this covenant that we have today. Yet they came back telling Jesus, hey, listen, Jesus, they were in victory because they believed that the enemy was under their feet. They had power over the demons. How many demons are roaming America today? How many demons are roaming our White House today and our government offices? You don't have to be an Einstein to see it. All you have to do is look. These people are manifesting demons in ways we've never seen before. And yet, we have power. The 70 came back with joy saying, Lord, listen, the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said, what's the big deal? Hey, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So he says, behold, I give you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what's the fear, Christian? Oh, believer, what are you fearing? If Jesus could give power to men who were not saved and just who have been in his presence, think about you who are saved. Get in his presence, get in his word, and what will you have? One word, victory. So as this episode says, our light has come. But what is that light? What is the light? Well, you know, if the darkness is the evil things that are going on, if the darkness are the sickness, the disease, and the devastation, and the gloom, and the misery, then the light has to be opposite of that, which is the word of God, the word of truth. Now, go back and think about what Jesus did. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. And how did he demonstrate that? He casted out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. When people didn't have food, he produced food by blessing the food and making it multiply and feeding the multitudes. When there was issues in the fishing business, what did he do? He caused Peter and his partners to have a boom in fish. Why? He gave them business strategies. The light is the word of God. Even Peter saying, listen, Lord, we've toiled all night and got nothing. Okay, that was his dark place. But Lord said, go launch on the deep, launch on this side. And what did Peter say? Well, at your word, I'll do this. In other words, okay, this is light. I'll take what you're saying because nothing else is working. Nothing else seems to be getting me out of this famine. So he follows the word of God. And guess what? They get so much fish that their nets and their boats were sinking. That was the light they needed to get through the dark periods. So we're in darkness here. America is full of darkness right now. And what the world needs to see is the light of God through the people of God. We see the kingdom of darkness operating. The world needs, they need to see God's kingdom in operation to prove that God's word is true and that he does love people. He does have compassion and care for the people of the earth. So we saw Jesus when he came into the world. He was our example to follow. What did he do? He preached the gospel of the kingdom, but he always confirmed it. He always confirmed God's word with signs, wonders, and miracles. But think about it. We saw this man, but where was his kingdom? How could we prove that he had a kingdom? Where did his power come from? How was Jesus able to raise the dead or cast out devils or heal the sick? He looked just like any other man in the world, but Jesus walked in another power, in a power this world had never seen before. And I'm going to pause here. If any of you saw or listened to the prophecy for 2023, what did the Lord say he was about to do? He was about to come at us even again in our day, even right now, with a power this world has never seen before. And he's going to be operating through his people. Take heed. God is coming to us with his light in the midst of darkness. But let's go to an example with Jesus to build your faith up with this, because Jesus is our example to follow. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus and the disciples are on a boat. Jesus said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Let me repeat that. Jesus said, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." So later a storm arose, but Jesus was asleep. His disciples were so afraid of the storm that they thought they were going to die. Yet, Jesus was asleep. Why was Jesus asleep? How could Jesus sleep through such a storm? Let's pause. What storm are you experiencing right now? Are you at peace in that storm? Or are you like the disciples, thinking that this storm will overtake you and take your life and kill you? If you are afraid, ask yourself why. Because as a believer, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to be afraid if you're following Jesus' instructions. You have no reason to be afraid if he is in a boat with you. Listen, you have no reason to be fearful, especially if Jesus isn't afraid. If he's asleep, why are you worried? This reminds me of something I learned many years ago. I used to travel a lot, and especially in some of these long flights overseas. You'd be on an airplane, and if you ever felt severe turbulence, one of the things that we were always told to do was watch the flight attendants. If they're still moving about the cabin and not moved by the turbulence, hey, there's no reason to fear. It's only when you see them move quickly, rushing everybody to get seats up, and when you see them jump in their chairs and lock in, that's the time to be concerned. Why? Because they're used to being in that atmosphere. It's no big deal. They know what turbulence feels like, and they're not going to jump unless the pilot tells them to jump. However, we have a pilot. That's the Holy Spirit. He is our pilot and life. So if God has spoken to us about going to the other side, why do we fear? Even if we're on a plane, why do we fear if God has told us to go to a particular place and told us to get on that flight? That flight has to land. We have to get to our destination. That's why Jesus was asleep, because he had a destination on the other side of that lake, because there was a madman awaiting deliverance. And that's how God does it. When we hear him, he tells us what to do, how to get there, and then we're safe. We don't worry about the battle. We don't worry about the things that are coming against us, because we are on a mission for the kingdom. Our word from the Lord is all the light we need to get to our destination safely, even in the greatest, grossest darkness. Now, I'm going to be transparent here. This is something I don't think I've ever shared with anyone in a very long time. But in my past life, I was in a very abusive marriage. It lasted almost 16 years. Yet, I was determined to honor my wedding vows even till death do us part. But every day I lived in utter darkness. There was death threats and all kinds of craziness happening with this man who was addicted. He was violent. And I found out later he was serving Satan. But I had no idea. I was ignorant. That's another form of darkness. I was ignorant of the truth about spiritual things. But what saved me, what got me out of that situation, Jesus, was the light that the Lord would speak to me or show me in that utter darkness. The Lord would give me a vision or a dream. I mean, this happened so many times because this man tried to take my life, and I can't even recall the number of times. And if I had not heard from God, I would have believed the devil and would have allowed him to take my life. God would show me a vision. And if that thing had not happened, then I knew that devil couldn't kill me. No matter how hard he tried, if the thing God showed me had not come to pass, I ain't out of here. The devil's going to have to find another victim, because I am not it. I remember the very last time I was in that situation, the man held a gun to my head. He was determined this was the day he was going to kill me. And I should have been scared. That was what the devil's plan was. But the Holy Spirit said, the gun is not loaded. That's all the light I needed to boldly go up to that gun, point it in the middle of my forehead, and say to the man, shoot. He literally freaked out, dropped the gun, and called me crazy. No, I wasn't crazy. I heard from God. My light had come, and I was no longer fearful because God was with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff were my protection. His word was my protection. It was my time to step out of the darkness that had held me bound, and I ran. I ran because I knew who had me. I knew whose I was. And even to this day, the Lord has me on assignment. I get death threats continually from the devil, from people in high places in this and other nations. But I walk in the fear of God. I walk in obedience to God. And even this week, the enemy was just talking all this smack about trying to take my life. Do you know he can't take my life? I am on assignment. If the Lord has told me I'm preserved, and what he told me recently, he says, those who are going after your life, they will go in your place. The Lord told me that they will go in your place. Why? I haven't done anything. I'm on my road to a destiny. And that's what the devil doesn't want for all of us. He doesn't want us to obtain our divine destiny. That's why there was a virus. That's why you have people in leadership trying to get a shortage. That's why they're speaking and trying to get people to hate one another. Why? Because they know if you're in the curse, if you're in hate, as the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:6, you won't even see good when it comes. You won't even see good when it comes. And that's what the devil wants you, so much in darkness that you won't even receive good. But as the Lord always told me, he told me this years ago, always strive to see the good, meaning always look for the light in the darkness, because it's there. It's always there. You have to understand, darkness in the world of darkness is to cover up the light. The enemy does so much evil, not because he has power, because he's trying to keep you from the real power. He's trying to keep you shaded, keep you shrouded in something. He's covered. It's like a smokescreen. He doesn't want you to see the light. So I ask you, what has you bound? Is it lack? Is it fear? Then this message is for you. Jesus has just the answer you're looking for. Now, that assumes that you're looking for a solution and not just giving up and falling for the devil's plan. There are some who call themselves believers, but they seem to have no evidence in their lives that they believe God at all. They suffer sickness like the world and ignore the fact that Jesus is the healer. They remain bound to evil and reject the freedom that the blood of Jesus affords us. I recall someone shared a vision with me they had from God. And in this vision, God gave this person freedom. They were seated in a jail cell. God opened the door and they walked out. They walked out of the cell, walked into the world, saw the world, ran back in the jail, got in the cell, and slammed the door closed. That's what the Lord told them. They felt more comfortable in prison than in freedom because they were fearful for what they saw in the world. So if that's you, you may not be ready for this message. But don't throw it away. Pray about it. Ask God to deliver you. Ask God to deliver you and show you how you can be strong in faith. But know that your actions are not pleasing to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, we cannot please God. How many of you want to please God? I know you do. But it takes faith to please God. I remember once the Lord was speaking to me. You know what impresses me? And he says, a person who will believe my word. A person who will take me at my word. That's what he said. I don't know. It just came out of nowhere. That's what impresses him. Not our flowery prayers, but the fact that we take his word and we believe him. We must believe that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he promises to do. This is what it means to be a believer. And I found something. I was going through some old records and journals and everything. And this is something the Lord gave me several months ago. He had me praying overnight for the body of Christ, specifically in America. He reminded me of the sacrifice Jesus made for mankind and how we disregard the power of the blood of Jesus. It really hit me hard. God made covenant promises to us to protect, to provide, and to prosper us. And I remember writing, oh, how both the wicked men and Christians spit in the face of God anytime we disregard so great a sacrifice. Then I heard, destruction is coming fast. Beloved, God is not pleased, especially with those who call themselves believers. If any of you had a chance to read or hear the prophecy for 2023, you know that God is about, as he said, to sweep the land of America, going to sweep out unrighteousness. For a believer not to believe God is unrighteous. The Lord said that when he comes, no one will be spared, not even Paula. He's called us all to repent. Believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to be the light of the world. But if we refuse to let our light shine, we are no good to God's kingdom, and the Father is not pleased. Our refusal to obey and walk in the light of his word causes the world to mock our Lord and Savior. And indeed, they mocked us during that crazy virus scare. How? By calling churches non-essential and making them close their doors. That was evil. But thank God for the men and women of God who obeyed the Father rather than the authorities. Sure, some went to jail, but now their ministries are flourishing with signs, wonders, and miracles. They stood for righteousness against an unrighteous law. They saw the light in the darkness, and they chose to walk in that light, as our Lord is in that light. That is why we're seeing, some of them are seeing great manifestations of the kingdom arising in their midst. Listen, beloved, the Lord has set before each of us death and life, blessing or cursing, but we must choose. The darkness only brings death and the curse. But in Jesus Christ, we have a covenant that brings the light that we need to thrive in the midst of darkness. As the psalmist said, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. That light shows us how to walk in the darkness. Still, the choice is ours. We can choose to stay in darkness and experience death and the curse. But know this, Jesus died on that cross and became a curse for us so that we could walk in the blessing. Now more than ever, God needs his children to walk in the blessing, which requires that we walk by faith. But the word is also clear. We walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. And God said in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Beloved, our light has come. So what are you going to do about it? This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.